Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Start a global hospitality brand? Be next to do it in Montgomery County, Maryland. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how our top talent, diversity, and location will help you be the next company to change the world.
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, Dynasty and Prospect Fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 40 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store for you all today. And with me, as always, my partner in crime, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Hey, not much. I'm just pumped. I don't know. I'm pumped to talk about baseball. Yeah, it's going to be a good night, and we're continuing our MLB draft coverage last week doing hitters, and this week we get to talk about some pitchers, and there's a lot of fun arms, so I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to this episode. I think it's going to be a really good one, and hopefully one that will help you out in your FYPDs and Dynasty Leagues.
The real reason why Chris is excited, though, he's just really amped up because of the Adam Frazier deal. Like, that just got the blood flowing. You know, You just love the Adam Frazier deal, yeah. Don't you?
It would have been nice if it was to Atlanta, but right. Here we are. The Braves are going to sit on their hands and not do anything, which I don't know. It might be the right move with everybody injured. The rotation's beat up without Acuna. You know, I don't think they're going to make a postseason run. So watch trade for – I just don't see a need to really go all in, trade the prospects, maybe next year.
Right. I think you wouldn't even be having this, like, discussion if any team would want to, like, run away with that division, right? Like,
yeah.
They're still, like, what? Last time I looked, they were, like, four or five games back.
They're five out. And they played the Mets five times this week, so it could change quickly.
Exactly. But it's – yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, I don't see Atlanta, even if they, like, do sneak out a wild card. Or actually, no, it has to be the division probably at this point. I think both the wild cards coming out of the West, in the NL at least. But – yeah, even if they win the division, I don't see them going deep with all the injuries you mentioned. I would love, actually, I'd like Adam Frazier on the Red Sox. I think he'd profile well. He fits well. That.
Yeah.
I think we'd finally have a leadoff hitter, even though Kike has been raking lately, but I still don't like Kike leading off.
It just seems like we're to the point now in baseball where the Padres, the Dodgers, they're just going to get who they want. It doesn't really matter.
Without giving up anybody of note.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it seems like the value of prospects in Major League Baseball is like fantasy value. Like, you know, guys don't want to give up their prospects in dynasty leagues. And it feels like that right now. Like, you don't see top 100 prospects get traded at all, which is interesting.
Right. Like, the biggest piece going back to Pittsburgh, who they're apparently very high on, is Chukwuepita Marcano.
Right.
They think it'd be like an Adam Frazier type of player, which he might be. We'll see. You know, decent little player. But yeah, anybody that thought like that any of the big names, like Abrams wasn't going anywhere, it's even with the injury, like those types of guys are not going to be traded right now unless you're bringing in like, you know, a big, big name, not an Adam Frazier name.
They didn't go, for Yu Darvish, they didn't go anywhere. I mean, that's a big name.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Who was the top player?
Blake Snell they traded for. Blake Snell was better friendly contract than Reginald Preciado was the biggest in that deal.
Right. Yeah. There's a bunch of like upside guys that could be something good someday, but nobody that's anywhere near top 100 right now. But
yeah. And I was high on that whole package going to Chicago, even though Cubs fans were like melting down. But again, it's all 18 and seven. We're at the time 17, 18 year old dudes that were like, you know, what they could be. We didn't know we hadn't seen them. We, you know, very little bit of what we knew about them. So,
right. And then like, the average fan doesn't know who Reginald Preciado is, right?
Yeah.
Or like who Yaisson Santana is. Like, you know, us prospect hounds know that those names, obviously. But, you know, the average fan that's like a casual fan to be like, who the heck are these guys? Yeah. Oh, that was terrible. Oh, what's wrong with the Cubs? And, you know, insert swear word here, insert swear word there. You know, that's, you know how fans are when they get passionate. Right. You know, obviously we all get like that. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I haven't thrown out a few choice swear words over the years regarding the Red Sox. But, but yeah, it's and then Whit Merrifield,
he's probably going to be in
the
mood.
Yeah, like Mariners were interested. The trade market really heating up here. So
it's
going to be
a fun week.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week. We're on the 25th right now as we're recording, so it's getting nearer to the deadline. Always a fun time, especially if your team's contending and might buy. But then my Red Sox get to add Chris Sale for free pretty soon, which is great. But I'm hoping we go out and get another arm, but we'll see. But so enough about that.
Where does Max Scherzer end up?
You know, I hate to say it, but the one that this logically makes sense. Actually, there's two: the Yankees and the Dodgers. I can't see any team that it's not the Yankees or Dodgers. Like,
yeah.
If I had to bet, you told me to throw $100 my own money down, I probably would have said the Yankees originally, but I think the Dodgers are going to feel the heat of the Padres moves, so I think they'll try to counteract that, because I don't think they want both Josiah Gray and David Price in that rotation right now, maybe one of them, but I think they like Price more in like that long relief role, which I think he's probably where he's best suited at this point anyway, so I could see them bringing in Scherzer.
And yeah, you know, it's fun, though. The Dodgers-Padres is a fun little rivalry.
Oh, it's great. It's the best rivalry in baseball right now. And that's coming from a guy that's lived through the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry for the last three decades. But the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry is pretty stale right now. Dodgers-Padres is not.
Yeah.
Or even Dodgers-Giants. Like, those are two good rivalries out there in the NL West. And it helps when all three of those teams are very good right now.
Yeah, that's fair. Does Scherzer fetch a top 50 prospect.
I think he does. I think that's like the guy that will fetch. Like if he went to the Dodgers, you know, they probably want an arm back. You know, maybe, I don't know if they would trade just Josiah Gray in this, but maybe like a Bobby Miller goes or someone like that, even though he's not really top 50 yet. Yeah, but I think Scherzer could fetch a top 50. At least top 100 prospect. You got to think, right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but I don't know, man. Darvish kind of – I don't know Scherzer's contract situation. I think he's pretty expensive for the next few years at least. So
watching this go to the Padres.
Probably.
Get everybody of note and not give up anything of note.
Right. Oh, no.
AJ Preller is just walking on water right now with all these deals he's making.
I was wrong. Scherzer's a free agent after this year, so he's not going to
– he's just a rental.
Maybe a borderline top 100 guy. Bobby Miller, like, that seems
that, right. Yeah, maybe like Miller and like a mid-level hitter or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, then. Throw in like Alex DeJesus or something like that. You know, someone with a little bit of upside, but, you know, a little bit more risky. Yeah, but
we'll be fun. We'll chat about it next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun the next few weeks after we get done with this. But before we get into all that next week, let's talk about some draft guys this week. But before we do, the usual housekeeping here. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And please check out our Patreon for extra written content from both of us, bonus podcasts, private Discord access, access to our live prospect and dynasty rankings, and so much more. These perks are available across four different tiers, starting at $5 a month. Or if you just want to thank and support Chris and I, you can do so for $1 a month. You can sign up today at patreon.com/FantraxToolshed. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the network, including our other two baseball podcasts, Five Tool and SP Streamer. All right, Chris, let's get into this week's episode here.
Let's do it.
As mentioned, we went over hitters last week, which was a lot of fun. You missed that. Go back and check that out. Obviously, it's going to be evergreen for a while now, so you want to check it out next week, in a month, 2 months, whatever. I'm sure we'll go back to it at some point, but go check that out. And we're going to be talking pitchers today. And as Chris mentioned, a lot of intriguing arms here, both on the collegiate side of things and the prep side. Let's start with probably the two biggest names of this draft. Both went to the same exact school. We had Kumar Rocker going number 10 overall to the New York Mets and number 2 overall to the Texas Rangers. His teammate, the much smaller Jack Leiter. I think for the most part, Leiter's probably the number one pitcher in this draft for FYPD. Like everyone, any rankings you see, it has Leiter one pretty much. Even though I like a lot of the other names behind him, but Leiter's got to be number one. He, with the upside he possesses, the floor, proximity, you got to love all of that. Now, how excited are you about Jack Leiter, Chris? Like, how good do you think Jack Leiter can be down the road?
I think he's the safest option in the draft from a pitcher standpoint. Like, he just screams like at least an SP3 at worst. Like, and people will scoff at that. Like, people are going to hear this right now and say, oh, they're going to freak out. But, you know, that's saying something if that's like the floor that you're looking at. And I think that he's got an argument to already be a top 5 to 10 pitching prospect. You know, I've already slotted him in that range. And he's got that upside where he could be like a top 15, 10 starter in all of baseball. Because when you just look at the body of work, you know, he took major steps this year. And I already had him over a Rocker before this season. And then he comes in and the fastball jumps from like 91 to 94 to 94 to 98. Like insane. The spin on it, he paints the upper zone extremely well. And, you know, I think you could argue that that pitch is a 70 pitch pretty easily, the fastball. You know, when you look at the vertical approach angle that he's throwing in, it's elite, like hard to argue with that. And all the underlying metrics are just really, really good. Then you factor in he's facing the best competition in college baseball, throws 110 innings over 18 starts. Like they worked him, like he was a workhorse. And pitched to a 2.13 ERA, struck out 179 batters. The walks, 45 walks is a touch concerning, but I don't see, you know, why it couldn't become, like, he's going to improve the control. you know, just watching him pitch, like he's more than capable of doing that. And even still with those walks, a whip of 0.845. That's darn impressive. And you can say it's against college competition. It's whatever is the best college competition you can face. Lighter's the real deal. Rocker's really good as well. So, you know, I hit a lot on lighter. But if you have any comments there, I think that, you know, the argument of his fastball, his curveball plays really well off of it. I think the development of a changeup will be really important, but it's there. And I think that he's got 360 grade pitches and the changeup that could really develop into that pitch as well. So
That's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, everyone, you know, the fastball, obviously, like you mentioned, is an elite fastball with everything that factors into it, the movement, the spin rate, velocity, everything, easily plus, and like you mentioned, borderline double plus. But I've seen, you know, a lot of people aren't as high on his secondaries. You just mentioned you think he could have three plus pitches. So you really do think that he could develop two of those into plus offerings. I'm assuming you probably meant his curve and slider, yep, the other two.
Yeah, I think the curveball is an easy.
Yeah, I think the curveball could be. You know, I'm not quite as high on the slider and changeup. I think those are, you know, maybe average above average right now. But in terms of the better secondary, like the best secondary offering between him and Rocker goes to Rocker with that slider. Like that slider was absolutely filthy. And with Rocker, you know, he had the velocity was there, but it was kind of inconsistent throughout the year. He had that dip middle of the year when he was down to like 91, 92, 93, oddly. Then he got back up end of the year. So that kind of alleviated some of the concern there. But I do think, I'd say that higher upside slightly might go to Rocker. But I think there's a bigger gap between the two of them in terms of floor, which I would give to Jack Leiter. But
it's totally fair.
Yeah, it's like nitpicking. Like you mentioned, they're both very good arms. Oddly enough, you wouldn't think that Leiter would be so much worse in terms of the walk rate when you watch them pitch, but when you look at the numbers, you know, Leiter had a walk rate above 10%, and Kumar Rocker's was well below 10%. Rocker's last year in his 20 starts was 8%, and Jack Leiter's, on the other hand, as I do some quick math here, was 10.5%. And, you know, that's not terrible. You know, we talked about that with like Freddy Peralta and Trevor Rogers, who were kind of like hovering in that range. It's not terrible, but the fact that he was doing that in college, you know, I'm not saying his control is going to get worse or anything like that, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit better control out of Leiter, make me feel even safer about him. The year before that, even though it was a small sample size, only 15 2/3 innings, he did walk 8 out of 60 batters face, which is 13.3%. But Leiter is definitely the safest, I think. I think he could be. I don't think he's going to be an ace. I don't think he's like a frontline guy unless he develops the secondaries a bit more and improves the command and control a little bit. But I do think he's, yeah, number two, high in number three, something like that. Rocker, I don't think I even see Rocker as an ace. I think Rocker, you know, high end two is his upside. Now, but he could be down as much as a four. He's like one of those high strikeout number four starters. I think he's a wreck up the case. Obviously, that slider is absolutely filthy. 70 grade offering easily, I think. One of the best pitchers in general in the draft class. So, but yeah, they're both very good. Like I had slotting them into my overall rankings, like you alluded to. For pitching prospects, Leiter is currently, what is that, number 8 behind G-Rod, Kirby, Hancock, Boz, Cavalli, Sixto, and Max Meyer. And then 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I have Rocker 18th, but there's like a big cluster of arms, so that's not like a slight to Rocker at all. This is a lot of talented arms right now. Including, and so where do you have them in your overall prospect rankings, Chris?
All right, so Meyer 1, Rodriguez 2, Kirby 3, Cavalli 4, Leiter 5. Then it goes Boz, Sixto, Lodolos, and Rocker. So Rocker 10th. But 10th, again, okay. In the overall, the difference between Leiter and Rocker is 15 spots.
Yeah, for me, it is about 30. But yeah, it's a cluster thing. My number 10 right now is Nate Pearson, and who obviously I'm probably higher on than everybody in the world at this point. But it's a story for another day. But yeah. both very good arms, you know, both top, at least top 20 pitching arms already right now. And there's a lot of other, you know, those are the big two names here for the collegiate arms this year, but there's a lot of other intriguing collegiate arms this year. And then I think the next most intriguing, who actually went one spot ahead of Kumar Rocker at number 9 to the Angels, Sam Bachman. And as a classic rock fanatic, I'm like, I'm already thinking of like Bachman Turner Overdrive team names down the road when all my teams that might have Sam Bachman on. He's absolutely, he might be one of the, you know, you could argue that he is the filthiest pitcher in this draft, at least from the collegiate ranks. Like, you know, he didn't go to like a huge school. He went to Miami of Ohio, which still feels weird to me. That college, Miami of Ohio, like you don't think Miami, you don't think Ohio, right? Like you think Florida, you think sunshine and coconuts and palm trees and beaches. You don't think Ohio. Like what's in Ohio? Like, honestly, what's in Ohio? Cleveland,
Cincinnati.
I think they border one of the Great Lakes. I couldn't tell you which one. Lake Erie, maybe. Like, you know, it's just not as prestigious as the other Miami. But anyway, but Bachman is absolutely filthy. Like, you see a lot of reports that people that think he could pitch out of a major league bullpen this year, and I agree with that. Like, he's got the fastball slider combination, both easily plus. You know, you could even, if you want to say one of those two is double plus, I wouldn't go against that. You know, probably you'd go with the fastball, but that slider is borderline double plus as well. He had a ton of strikeouts last year in his final season in Miami of Ohio. You know, there's some effort in the delivery, you know, some bullpen risk. Doesn't have the greatest control in the world. So all those kind of make, you know, it's, people say it's like, oh, it's like 60-40, he stays in the rotation. But I think if you draft a guy at number 9 overall, you envision him as a starter. You don't draft a guy that high to be a bullpen arm. It may be back end of the first round. Okay, maybe. Like with Burrell Callaway or Caraway last year. That's okay. But if you take top 10 pick, you're not drafting a reliever. I'm sorry, you're just not.
The White Sox took Crochet 11th last year.
That is true. But do you think they thought of Crochet as a reliever when they drafted him, though?
I don't know. I wonder if maybe not. Maybe they just had the need last year, so they brought him up. He pitched out of the pen, and now it's just kind of stuck. I don't know. It's hard to say for sure. But it is hard to imagine drafting a top 10-ish pick as a reliever.
Right. Yeah. And Bachman, you look at the numbers here, they were better. Obviously, lesser competition. The MAC is nowhere near the competition level of the SEC, but Bachman in 12 starts, 181 ERA, 0.77 WHIP, 41% strikeout rate, and a better walk rate than Leiter as well, 7.5%. And what are your thoughts on Bachman? I really like Bachman, and I think he's close to Rocker. I think he's a lower floor than Rocker does. And we already talked about Rocker's floor, but what are your general thoughts on Bachman? Because I'm personally pretty damn high on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got the stuff. The fastball is probably just as good as Leiter's. You know, it sits in the upper 90s. It touches a 101, which Leiter doesn't do. Decent movement on it. Decent release points there. I think the biggest thing is his changeup development, which he didn't have, and he's been working on, like, prior to draft. So if he develops a changeup, that's going to be huge, huge, huge for him sticking in the rotation.
And he flashes an above average one too. It just needs a little more consistency with it, but it does flash above average.
Yeah, his slider is really good too. So I think when you factor that in, like, he's kind of like the Max Meyer last year with those two like really, really good pitches, like arguably the best two pitch mix in the class. Like, is that a fair statement to say for him?
Yeah, he's definitely like top three in that regard. He's definitely in that mix for sure.
Yeah, I mean, two really, really good pitches. I mean, some might be a little lower on it, but.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
you know, I think that he could take the Garrett Crochet route where the Angels could, but I don't, the Angels aren't like pressing to compete. So, you know, I don't think he comes up this year, and hopefully they take the time to develop as a starter next year. But no, I mean, I'm definitely a fan. I think there's as much upside as, of any pitcher in the class, like Bachman has it. So it'll be curious to see how this all plays out with him. But yeah, from an upside standpoint, like he's got it all day long.
Yep, absolutely. And yeah, like we both kind of said, if he develops that changeup even more, gets more consistency with it, you know, establishes that as a legit third weapon, or even if it's just 55, having, you know, a 70 fastball, 60 or 70 slider, and a 55 change with, you know, I wouldn't say he's got above average command control, but it's at least around average, I think. At least the control is average. Maybe the command might be a tick below at times, but again, I don't see any huge issues. Like, I'm not like thinking there's a big reliever risk here. I think there's some. Obviously, I won't say it's zero, but I'm more like 85-15, like starter for him long term. And yeah, he might, you know, begin his major league career in the bullpen. At the same time, I think he's a starter long term. But with that said, I don't like the recent track record that the Angels have developing arms. It's like, it hasn't been great. All their top arms have kind of flailed out for the most part. So I don't know. I don't know how I like this landing spot, but we'll see. After him and Rocker, there were three more taken inside the top 20, one of which I think we both like a considerable amount more than the other two. At pick 14 to the San Francisco Giants, they took Will Bednar. Then 18 to the Cardinals, they took Michael McGreevy, or we like to call him McGreevy. And at 19, the guy we like more than the other two by a good amount, Toronto took Gunnar Hoglund, who probably would have went probably closer to the Rocker Bachman range if he didn't have Tommy John surgery. That was the, you know, least opportune time to have Tommy John surgery, but you know, still an early first round pick there. Chris, I think you got a little more looks. I don't even get live looks at him, but I think you watched a little bit more on Hoglund than I did. What are your thoughts, just your general thoughts on Hoglund, and how good do you think he can be long term?
Yeah, and he made a big jump this year. Like, he was one whose velo was kind of a question prior to this year, and then he came out firing that first start. You know, they were playing in Arlington, actually, in the Ranger Stadium against Texas Tech, if I remember right. And his velo was up, and everybody's like, wow. And the spin rates on his fastball, like, when his fastball set, like, 88 to 90 prior, which was, like, he was a good pitcher, but that was, like, a big question mark for the draft. And then he came out firing 92 to 94 consistently, and his fastball spin rate's sitting around 2,600 RPM. Like, that's a lot for a fastball.
That's good. And yeah.
You look at the big leaguers now without the sticky stuff, and they're in that range. So that was kind of huge for him. The slider was really good as well. Sits like 83 to 86 range. Yeah, you'd like to see it have a little more velo, but regardless, like if he's above 85, like that's going to play. And I think that he only, you know, sees a little tick up in his velo. He's one that he looks smaller on the mound, but he's listed at 6'5". Like, he doesn't look huge to me by any means. So, you know, he gets a lot of extension, which is really good. And like you said, I think that he would have been a top 10 pick if not for Tommy John surgery. But that kind of speaks to how Toronto valued him, because they took him still 19th. And yeah, I honestly was afraid he was going to fall to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers were going to get another monster.
I think everyone was worried that they were going to get Hoglund. Like, that's just how it happens. Like, it's like just like the Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. They all, like, someone good that has like some talent that you can work with always fell to them. That's like how the Dodgers are. They always get somebody good.
Yeah. And yeah, this is credited to Mason McCray, because I read this from him. But since college baseball started using TrackMan, he leads all of college baseball in whiffs, which is pretty impressive. And so there's really solid performance at a high level here. I think I watched four or five of his starts from start to end, and just, you know, highly impressive guy. He seems like a high character guy as well, like a leader in the clubhouse. So this was a great pick by Toronto. And one in FYPDs that I think is going to go lower than he probably deserves, because he is coming back from Tommy John. But look, here's the thing about that. When guys get it early, it's a good thing. there's a chance that Leiter or Rocker or Bachman could all get it 2 or 3 years down the road. But with Hoglund, it's out of the way. Like, he's already gotten it. So, yes, like, he is going to miss, you know, he'll come back late next year probably. But he's got it out of the way. He's got it done. He should be a fast mover upon coming back, you know, a high-profile college arm. So, yeah, Hoglund's one of those that I've seen a good bit, and all the data I've seen is just really, really good. And I hadn't mentioned the changeup, so a good three-pitch mix there between those three. And, you know, the fastball, maybe above average. The slider, probably plus. The changeup, average. But the command is where he really gets them. Like, really, really good command. Like, he could be plus to double plus command at peak. I think that he only sees a tick up in velo when we saw that this year. So he should continue to see that rise. And I think that he could be probably one of – so if you don't want to pay up at the top of your draft for Leiter or Rocker, like, he's the one that I'll get. He's the one that I'll get in the 20 to 30 range. I think he's going to fall there, and I think he's going to be a great value in first-year player drafts.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where I have him – let's see, where do I have him currently? 19th in my rankings, right behind Gavin Williams, who we'll talk about here in a little bit. And yeah, he would have been, let's say the injury never happens. He's probably like 13, 14 for me, like up in that Harry Ford, Sam Bachman, Sal Frelick, Matt McClain range up there, as opposed to being down by 20 where he is now. But yeah, that, you know, Hoglund is, and he was having a breakout 2022 before the shutdown, like in four starts, 1.16 ERA last year, four walks, 37 Ks in 23 innings. So if you combine his last 2 years at Mississippi, which is 15 starts and 86 innings, he combined to have a 6.2% walk rate, which is above average, and a 39% strikeout rate. You know, whip of about 0.92, ERA, I'd have to do the math, but ERA was very good as well. So yeah, he just absolutely dominated, and that breakout started back in 2020 and then continued in 2021, and it sucked when he went down with Tommy John. But, you know, I agree. You know, what you mentioned, getting it out of the way, like, who doesn't have Tommy John surgery nowadays? Yeah. It's like more often than not you see it happen. So I'd rather have it happen now. Obviously, you don't want it to happen at all.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have it happen now than when he's in, like, double A in, you know, a year and a half or so. Like, much better to have it done now. If there ever is a quote unquote good time to have it done, definitely would rather have it now. And yeah, I echo everything you said about Gunnar Hoglund. I think, you know, he might not be the flashiest out of these guys. Like, he doesn't have that 70 grade offering that Rocker has or that Leiter has or Bachman. So the upside might not be quite as high, but his floor, I think, can rival anybody in the draft class. I think it really can. Yeah. Like you mentioned, the command and control profile, both of which are at least plus. And he saw that with the walk rates. He can locate his pitches, all three of his pitches, very well. He can land it for strikes. He can bury this, you know, the slider below the zone. Changeup looks pretty good as well. I think they can be an above average pitch as well. So I think you could be looking at a guy that just has, you know, three offerings that are 55 or 60, along with, you know, similar or better command and control. And that'll play. Those are the guys that more often than not, like, those are the guys that turn into like the really good arms in baseball. Like, I think he might have the best chance in this draft class of being a number two starter long term, just because of that command and control profile, which is better than any of the other arms we've talked about right now. So definitely like Gunnar Hoglund a lot. I think, you know, if he wasn't injured, I think he'd be a guy that you'd be targeting, right? We're pretty close to Rocker and Hoglund and Bachman. He might even be better than them long term. We'll see
how he comes back. If he's healthy, I feel comfortable slotting him eighth in the FYPD behind Brady House. Yep. Rocker, I have Rocker sixth. Like, I'd go above. I'd have him above Job if he was healthy. So that's what I think of him. I think he's very talented. I think you're going to get a good value on him right now.
Yeah, and I kind of like the landing spot too. Like, Toronto's, they could have a pretty damn good rotation. Everything breaks right. Obviously, with Pearson, who knows? But, you know, they got some good arms in that system, and adding a guy like Hoglund where they did. I love that pick. I saw them that pick come up on the screen. Or I probably saw it on Twitter first from Kylie McDaniel, but saw the pick come in. I was like, I like that. That's a good pick. So yeah, definitely Gunnar Hoglund's probably one of the better value picks in the first round. Let's get to the other collegiate guys here that went in the first round that we're not quite as high on, but still a bunch of other good arms here. Let's go quickly on the other two here in the top 20. before we get into some of the intriguing guys in the 20s. Will Bednar at 14 to San Fran. Michael McGreevy, 18 to St. Louis. Which one of these two are you higher on? I think we're both a little bit higher on Bednar, but for you, what's the gap between, you know, a Hoglin and a guy like Bednar? How big is that gap for you? Because for me, it's actually pretty big. I know you're higher than on Bednar than I am, but, you know, I think there's a pretty solid gap here. But, and that's no shake to Bednar. I think he's going to be a solid arm. But what are your thoughts on Bednar and McGreevy?
Yeah, I think Bednar got better as the season went on. And and he really solidified his draft status, honestly, in the College World Series final when he just outdueled. You know, he pitched better than both the Vandy arms in the series. So
he did.
Yeah. He pitched incredible. And with Bednar, I think you're getting there's some risk with the command, but even still, like, that improved this year. Like, his walk rate went down this year, which was huge for him. And again, we gotta remember, like, this is he's 21, but in 2020 that was his first year, and he only had one start in 2020, actually, and so he didn't get much experience there, which is kind of interesting. But this year he came on strong. I think you saw some improvement with his fastball velo. Overall, I think that he was really impressive. And again, against that competition, I like his delivery a lot. And the fastball plus pitch, high whiff rate, throws a lot of strikes with it, sits like 92 to 96 pretty consistently. Then he also throws, the secondaries are solid. I mean, I wouldn't say they're as like good as Hoagland's could be, but still, I mean, I like his slider. I think the slider's arguably could be a plus pitch. The curveball solid as well. I think the lack of changeup is a question mark there, but still, he gets a lot of spin when on his breaking pitches, and the command of him, I think, is the biggest thing. He improved that, but how does it stick long-term? We'll see. McGreevy, I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of the pick, but what are your thoughts on him? Because I'm kind of like meh about him.
You know, I've been meh about McGreevy, and I thought that was a little bit of a reach. I thought there was some better arms on the board. But the more I've kind of looked into McGreevy and thought about it, the more I like it. And I'm still not huge on McGreevy. I kind of think of him as a poor man's Hoglin. I think he's got like similar kind of characteristics, and, you know, in the arsenal, and he's a good command and control guy. He only walked 11 batters last year in 101 innings. So with 425 batters faced, that's a 2.6% walk rate. That's pretty damn good. He didn't strike out quite as many as the other guys here, 27.1% in the Big West Conference, you know, the powerful Big West. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not a big strikeout guy. He doesn't have the big stuff, kind of like Hoglin. Doesn't have like any pitches that stand out. He's got a nice four pitch mix here. You know, the normal fastball, curveball, slider, changeup. They're all like 50-55, but they play up because he can locate them very well. He's plus command, plus control. But he's a guy where, you know, I'd like him a lot more if he was doing this against better competition. You know, Big West isn't like a terrible conference, but it's not the SEC. It's not, you know, big. It's not the Pac-10, so it's not a big time conference. So I wonder how he kind of translates over into the, you know, minor leagues. But I think there's a decent floor here. I think a number four type starter, maybe best case scenario, he's a mid rotation guy just because of the high floor that he brings and the command and control profile. But yeah, I'm warming up to it. You know, good frame, 6'4", 215, 220 in that range. You know, I'm warming up to it, but I'm not super high on McGreevy. Like, for reference here, I have Bednar. Where do I have Bednar? 27 in my rankings currently for FYPD, and I have McGreevy 40. I might move McGreevy up a little bit. I've been inching him up a little bit more and more. But so he's a good, like, you know, 12 to 15 spots lower. Where do you have these two in your rankings, Chris?
Yeah, I've got Bednar at 20 and McGreevy at 26. So I'm a little higher on McGreevy than you, which is interesting. But I think that the floor is there. That's really the big thing. Like, there's a lot of risk in some of the other arms in this area. Like, we're going to talk about some of these in the 20s. And McGreevy kind of possesses that higher floor. And you know who also went to UC Santa Barbara who had elite control? One of the best pitchers in baseball, Shane Beaver. So
he went to UC Santa Barbara.
He did. Yeah.
I did not think he went there. That's the first name I thought of was Bieber. I'm like, nah, he didn't go there. Yeah,
he did, which is interesting. Oh. So I don't know. I'm not saying that McGreevy's going to follow that path, but McGreevy has a good arsenal with great command. And that's kind of the path that Bieber followed. And then you know, the rest is kind of history there. So yeah, it'll be fun to watch him develop, but there was other guys with more upside in this area, but you know, for the Cardinals, I think it's a good floor pick, and there's a good chance that he makes the major league rotation. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I agree. I love how we have to put that disclaimer out there. Like, we're not saying he's going to be Shane Bieber, because you know, there's always that one person that's like, oh, so Chris, I heard you say that you think Michael McGreevy is going to be the next Shane Bieber.
He comped him to Shane Bieber. No,
there's always that one person. Got to put that disclaimer out there. Not comping him to Shane Bieber. We wouldn't do that. That'd be crazy talk. But let's get to the other names here before we hit the break and talk about the intriguing prep arms here. I think the other names we have left here that we want to talk about for collegiate arms, Jordan Wicks went 21 to the Chicago Cubs. Ryan Cusick, 24 to your Atlanta Braves. Ty Madden fell down to 32 to the Detroit Tigers. Jaden Hill went 44 to the Colorado Rockies, which is interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff with that pick and that player. But then my favorite one out of this range, and a guy that I just love the landing spot, love this stuff, Gavin Williams going 23 to the Cleveland Indians. Could you think of a better landing, like player organization combination in this draft, Chris, than Gavin Williams going to the Cleveland Indians?
No, I put out a tweet that when he got drafted, that Gavin Williams and Cleveland were a match made in heaven, and the Indians or the Cleveland fan base loved it. They really went wild on that tweet. But yeah, I mean, it's 100% true. He is a fantastic pitcher. And again, he's another one who I think the postseason really helped his draft stock in the super regional against Vanderbilt. He pitched an absolute gem. I think he struck out 12 Vanderbilt hitters. He pitched extremely well. I think he went 7 innings as well. He may have struck out more than 12. I need to find that game log. But yeah, you look at the combination there of stuff, and I like him better than any of those pitchers we just talked about. Like him better than Bachman personally.
I have Bachman a little higher, but it's close. Like,
yeah,
I usually struggle with comps, but the one that immediately popped up in my mind, especially with the system he went into, he reminds me of a more advanced and more polished Ethan Hankins.
Yeah.
Big fastball, you know, some solid secondaries that he's still refining, you know, bigger, taller guy. He's just at 6'5". He's 6'8".
Yeah, he's huge. No, maybe I'm off on that. I think listed that wrong.
He's tall. He's at least 6'5". He's between 6'5 and 6'8". Let's see. I'm seeing 6'6", 230.
Yeah, on my sheet I've listed him 6'8". I don't know where I got that.
he's 7'4".
he's also playing in the NBA.
Yeah, he's going to be starting at center for the Dallas Mavericks here as well. Yeah, you know, big size, big frame. You know, can throw strikes. He's not like, you know, he's not a big, you know, plus command and control guy, but he's at least average command and control and maybe a tick above. If you look at his last year at Eastern Carolina was absolutely like, and you mentioned the postseason run as well, which definitely helped. But even before that, like the final season he had there, 188 ERA, 0.96 whip, and 130 strikeouts to 21 walks in 81 and a third inning. So, good walk rate, can strike him, you know, can miss bats at a high clip as well. Getting him into Cleveland, like, he could tick up to 55 or 60 command and control. Like, I don't put anything past Cleveland in developing arms and maximizing their full potential. So, Gavin Williams is a guy that, just because he didn't go to a big school and he kind of popped on the scene, like, this year, like, he wasn't really on any radar before this year because he only made 2 relief appearances in 2020. And in 2019, he had 21 appearances, 5 starts. ERA was 4.5. So he really came into his own in his final season at East Carolina. So he's a guy that I think you can still get at a pretty solid, you know, value. Like, I think he's the other top value in this first round, along with a Gunnar Hoglund, Hoglund? I want to say it right.
It's Hoglund.
I want to say Hoglund.
It looks like it.
it looks like Hoglund. Okay. Hoglund, Let's think Hoagie. It's a New England thing. I think Hoagie. So Gunnar Hoglund and Gavin Williams, I think, are the top two value picks here in the first round. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, yeah. And Williams is my fourth FYPD pitcher behind Leiter, Rocker, and Jobe. So that's what I think of him.
Yeah, he's five for me right now. But yeah, it's like toss up for him and Bachman. Like, I think Williams is safer than Bachman. I think Bachman had a little more upside, but getting him in the Cleveland org is just absolutely phenomenal here. Let's talk a little bit about your guy here, Chris Cusick. I know you weren't overly happy with the picks. I'll let you vent a little here if you want to. What are your thoughts on Cusick, and why do you not like that pick for your Braves?
I just feel like it's a reliever waiting to happen. I mean, it's funny because when he was at the draft, and when he got picked, Passan asked him, he was like, so are you going to be a starter or a reliever with Atlanta? And he's going to say, I'm a starter, and the Braves think I'm a starter too. He wouldn't say otherwise, but honestly, he's like a two pitch guy. The fastball is really good, and I think you can't make an argument against that. You know, he's a big boy like Williams. I think he's 6'6". He gets nice rise on his fastball, and the fastball is up to like 98 pretty consistently, which is pretty crazy there. He hits 100, gets good spin rates on it. And then he's got a plus curveball. So two really good pitches, but What else is there? The command and control is, you know, kind of meh.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
At best, the stuff is good on those pitches, but I just question, like, can he develop a changeup? Yeah, he has one, but he doesn't really throw it a ton and doesn't, I don't know. He also throws like a power slurve type thing sometimes, which is interesting as well. I don't know. I just don't love it enough to take it 25, but again, or 24, excuse me. I took Jared Schuster at 25 last year. Similar stuff, but Schuster's pitched well this year in the minor leagues. So
they like them Wake Forest arms.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe
the connection there.
Yeah, they'll have some good chemistry in the locker room if they get in the same level. I'll be interested to see the development. Like, I think the development of his changeup is going to be huge for him, but I just see a lot of RP risk on him.
Yeah, I think so too. But you mentioned that fastball curveball combination. That could be really lethal coming out of the pen with him riding up in the upper registers with that fastball, then dropping that curveball. I think that could be a lethal combination there, but we'll see. We'll see how Atlanta wants to develop him. He's definitely one of the more intriguing items, but he didn't have like a great final year at Wake Forest. Yeah, he struck out a lot of guys, but at the same time, he had a 4.24 ERA, 1.39 whip in 12 starts. Meh. I mean, stats aren't everything, of course, but you know, the fact that he didn't dominate in his final year. So we'll see. He's definitely one, an intriguing one to follow here as he gets into the Brave system here. A couple of the names quickly before we hit the break here. Jordan Wicks, Ty Madden, Jaden Hill. You know, Chris, pick one of those guys and go with it. Who do you want to talk about there?
Let's go with Ty Madden. Yeah, I would love to talk about Jaden Hill, but Colorado's just a terrible landing spot.
Yeah, like, Jaden Hill is real quick, though. Where do you – would you like Hill more? Obviously, you'd like him more if he didn't go to Colorado. But let's say take the team out of it. What were your thoughts real quick on Hill? Were you kind of out because of the injury and some of the other risk goes along with Jaden Hill? Or were you still kind of a Jaden Hill guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like – he's like a little bit lesser of Hoagland. Like, I mean, I watched a lot of him, really liked what I saw. And some starts he struggled, though. Like, some starts he just didn't have it at all. So – that's really the question mark of the inconsistency, I guess, with him. So I don't know. I thought it would have been best for him to go back to school. But again, you know, he wouldn't have pitched much next year anyway. So
right,
it's hard to say for sure, but the landing spot just kills him. I mean, the fastball was big. He could get to upper 90s pretty easily in shorter stints. His fastball ticked down all year, though, which I wonder if had to do with injury. You know, the fastball went from 95 to 97 consistently to 92 to 96, then 90 to 94. before he, you know, went down. And it's the same thing like last year. I loved Chris McMahon, but that landing spot, not good, man, not good. So, yeah, I like Hill. I don't like the landing spot. I don't like the injury. But, yeah, definitely like Madden a little more. I think a lot of people were upset that he slipped out of the first round. But, again, I think this was a thing where Detroit already had a deal. I'm not as high on Madden as some. So, if you're higher on Madden than me, maybe you should hit on him. Again, I watched him several times. I have him 29th in my FYPD rankings. Not bad. But I'm not in love with him like some people are.
I have him 29th also. It's kind of funny.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that was a great get though for Detroit. Like
it was.
You know, and some could say they needed position players more, and a lot of Detroit fans I know were pretty irritated, let's say, that they passed on Marcelo Mayer for Jackson Jobe, who we'll talk about here soon. We'll talk about Jackson Jobe, but don't worry about that. I love Jackson Jobe. But I think that's a great like first two picks combination. You get a collegiate arm like Ty Madden, high upside guy like Jackson Jobe, number three overall. That is a good combination. And yeah, it was really, really interesting that Madden fell. Like he was outside of Khalil Watson falling to 16, who we thought was a top five pick. Madden falling was kind of like the other, you know, big name to fall. Kind of like, where's he going to go? Where's the slide stop? But Madden, I'm not like super high on Madden, but I think there's a lot of good stuff there. You know, he's got a solid frame, 6'3", like 220 or so. I think he's listed at 215, but he looks a little bigger. So, but who knows? But the big fastball, mid to upper 90s, slider. I think slider is a plus pitch as well. You know, changeup, curveball also there, but behind. I think the changeup has some potential there. It shows good movement profile to it, some fade, some sink, a little bit of depth there. But, you know, he's really kind of relied on that fastball slider more so. And, you know, when you don't really need to develop, you know, third and fourth offerings because your two offerings are pretty good. Like I'd say both the fastball and slider are plus there. So he kind of got away with not needing to go to his other pitches much. But, you know, the one thing with him, I think he needs to develop that third pitch now, though, because as good as those two pitches are, like you would have thought that he would have had a bigger strikeout rate than he did. Like his final year at Texas, 2.45 ERA, 1.05 WHIP, you know, pretty solid there. Strikeout rate was kind of, at least for a arm of his magnitude, it was 30.3%. You know, that's good, but you would have thought it would be high. You see all these guys we talk about were like mid to upper 30s. So I want to see him miss bats more consistently, see how the command and control plays. I think he's maybe potential to be 50s on both, but I think if he was to go one way or the other, he'd go down to 45 as opposed to 55 there. He's had some walk issues in college throughout his career. You know, walk rates were even higher his first couple years in school. So, but definitely an intriguing arm. I want to see how Detroit develops him, but definitely a guy that if you want some upside, an upside arm back end of the, you know, or even like the 25 to 35 range, where so I think he'll go mostly in FYPDs. I think that's a good target there. But what are your thoughts on Wicks here? I think he reminds me of a lefty Jackson Kowar, kind of. You know, there's some similarities there with the big changeup, not the big fastball, you know, questions about the breaking ball. But what are your thoughts on Wick here before we hit the break?
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting comp. I mean, really good changeup, really good command, fastball. I think that's going to be the hindrance. I'm not sure. Maybe it ticks up, but it'll be interesting to see. I think that'll play into his development. I wouldn't say either of his breaking pitch. He throws a slider and a curve. I wouldn't say either of them are great pitches. I mean, that maybe average at best. That changeup's really good, and I think that
that's filthy. It's like a Cole Hamels type of changeup from the left side. That's just so good.
And no, and maybe with that, I mean, maybe a 92-mile-an-hour fastball plays, but it'll be one that we'll have to watch his development pretty closely, I think. He's a little older for the class compared to most of these guys. And like I said, the best changeup in – arguably the best changeup in the draft. The rest of the arsenal is just kind of okay to me. And so I'll be interested to see if he sticks as a starter or reliever. I kind of see him as a reliever. But I think they're going to give him a chance to start it because, again, you don't take a guy, in my opinion, you don't take a guy that high if you want him to be a reliever. Just my thoughts.
Yep. 100% agree there. Yeah, Wicks, I don't know. I can't get two in the Wicks. Like, I think he's a decent floor guy. He screams like number four to me. I don't know. It's that profile just screams number four, which is nothing wrong with that. But just the upside is kind of lacking. I have, where do I have him in my rankings? Oh, why can I not find him in my rankings right now? Oh, 33. So he's like my, I don't know, that's 12th, 15th arm off the board for FYPD. He's behind Madden for me. He's behind Cusick and all them. So, but, you know, decent arm, but not one that I'm kind of going out of my way to target in my FYPDs personally. But we're going really long here. So let's go ahead and hit a break, come back on the other side and get into some of all the top prep arms, which there are a ton of, and then we'll get you some kind of mid-round picks that we like, or at least outside the first round, and a deeper target for your FYPD. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
All right, welcome back from the break. Doing our first year player draft pitcher review here. Just talked a lot of collegiate arms. That was a lot of fun. A lot of good names there. But let's get into the always intriguing prep arms here. And what better place to start than the guy that I can say with a high degree of confidence, in my opinion, has the highest upside of any pitcher in this here draft. He went number three to the Detroit Tigers. Jackson Jobe. Like, I'm gonna wax poetically here about Jackson Jobe, but I'll let you go first. But you know, how high do you have Jackson Jobe in your rankings, Chris? Like,
I'm probably gonna be the lowest on him for FYPD because I have him 11th. Prep arms scary, and you know,
scary prep arms.
the track record with prep arms just isn't good, and everyone's gonna, and if you follow my rankings, you're not going to get him, just being honest. Like, you're not going to get him there because there's going to be someone that's really high on him. One, a lot of people draft by how teams actually drafted. And so third overall, it's like, oh my gosh, like this guy. And I like Jobe. Like you said, I think he's probably the most intriguing arm in the class. From a talent standpoint, it's there. I mean, this kid didn't pitch until like a year and a half ago. Like, he was shortstop. And you look at what he did, he was absolutely dominant. Obviously, like, high school numbers don't matter a ton. But in 51 and two-thirds innings, 122 strikeouts, 5 walks. That's insane. But you look at his spin rates, and his spin rates are like the best in the class, like no doubt. Like the raw spin rates on the fastball, like 2,500. The slider. Heard it was like 3,300. I don't know if that's a misreading or not, but like that's the fastest spinning pitch in baseball. Like, no pitch spins like that. 3,300.
Fastest spin rate in the world, basically. Yeah.
Right. That's insane. So the fastball slider combo are fantastic. You know, he doesn't throw the changeup much because he didn't have to in high school. When you throw that good of a fastball and slider, who needs a changeup at the high school level, I guess. But the changeup development will be good. I think it's an average pitch right now. I think it can improve the command. Obviously, when you're throwing like that, you're not going to walk a lot of guys. So don't look a ton into the walk right there. 5 walks is like, oh my gosh, this guy's got elite command control because high schoolers swing at a lot of stuff. And then when you're facing somebody like that, it's like, whoa. So yeah, I like Jobe. I'm just being a little more conservative from the standpoint of, I think in the past I've ranked high school arms too high and I've got burned on that. And so, you know, last year I ranked Mick Abel, who was my top prep arm last year, like 13th or 14th in FYPD. And, you know, I like Jobe more than that. But again, with this class, like, I really like the top 7. And then after that, you know, you could argue, I think you could make an argument for him at 8, like ahead of Benny, who I have 8th, Benny Montgomery, Harry Ford, Matt McClain. So you could put him above those pretty easily, but I'm just a little more conservative in my ranking of him.
I'm not. I agree.
I love it.
I'm not. I totally agree. In general, I try to be more conservative with the prep arms, but every now and then there's like that prep arm that's really, really just captivates you and takes your breath away. And for me, the last year was McAble. There's usually like one in every draft class. Sometimes not. Sometimes one every other year. But we've had back-to-back years here with McAble last year and Jackson Job this year, who I like just as much. Maybe a smidge below McAble, but damn close. Basically flip a coin. Like you mentioned, elite spin rate guy, double plus fastball. I think he could be 70 fastball, 70 slider in time. Like, I think he's at that type of potential once he gets more development here in the minor leagues. And I'm higher on the changeup. I think that changeup is above average right now. I think it already flashes plus. So I think with, you know, obviously you mentioned he'd never use it much. So with more repetitions, he'll get a better feel for it. I think that could be a 60 grade offering. I think there's definitely that potential in that changeup. So you're looking at 70, 70, 60 potential with maybe above average command and control. Like, stop me from drooling here, Chris. Like, obviously, he's a prep arm. He's 19, 18, 19. I forget what his age is. But to be that, like you mentioned, he wasn't really like, he hasn't been pitching for a super long time, right? So that show, you know, the advancedness that he shows for a prep arm without having as much experience as the other prep arms from this class, that makes me feel even better about Jackson Job moving forward here. So I'm all in on Jackson Job. I was all in on McAble, and he's pitched pretty damn well so far this year. I'm all in on Jackson Job. I think, you know, 5, 6, 7 years from now, I'm going to go on a limb. You can, you know, write this down and expose me later if I get it completely wrong. Because I know it's a hot take, but I think he's going to be the best arm. He's going to be the ace of Detroit in a handful, you know, whenever, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Ahead of Skubal, ahead of Mize, ahead of Manning, everybody. I think he's going to be the best arm. And because he's got that type of upside. We could go for 10 more minutes on Jackson Job, but for time's sake, let's move on here to the next couple arms here. Yeah, there's three other, like, if we're talking about prep arm tiers, I think tier two in terms of, you know, intriguingness, I'm not sure if that's a word, but I'm making it a word here. Yeah, Frank Mazzucato went 7 to Kansas City, which was, I think, the absolute surprise of the first round, even more so than Watson or Madden falling. Mazzucato going 7 to Kansas City. Andrew Painter, which is ideal. That's an 80 grade last name for a pitcher. Went 13 to the Phillies. And Chase Petty, who I'm very high on, went 26 to Minnesota. Chris Mazzucato, what were your initial thoughts on that spot right there? And what do you think of Mazzucato? Obviously, I think we both can agree that was a bit high on Mazzucato with all the other names on the board. Like, they passed on Rocker and Bachman and everyone else here. But what were your thoughts on Mazzucato here?
Well, I think this was a clear plan from the Royals from the start. They were going to get a major underslot here, and I thought they'd go a little bigger later, but
yeah, but they didn't.
They did.
Reminds me of my Red Sox last year. Like,
yeah,
Nick York. Well, oh, let's go big later. Oh, but we didn't go big later.
Blaze Jordan.
Yeah, meh.
So Mazzucato wasn't really a thing until the stories come out. He threw 4 straight no hitters. Like, I forgot how many innings he. I had it written down somewhere how many innings in a row he went without a hit. Like, and it was a lot. And then they
at some point, someone threw down a damn bunt. Like,
yeah,
you know, someone has to be good at drag bunting. Just throw down a drag bunt to break up that streak.
Yeah, I have it. It's on our FYPD write-ups on Fantrax. But anyway, they brought him in relief actually for that next outing, and he had a surrendered hit in that one inning he pitched, which is interesting. But yeah, I mean, the arsenal's good. You know, I think that you look at a cold weather arm that, you know, popped up, and those happen, but in the past, the fastball was like not good at all, like 86 to 88. And then this spring, he was up to like 89, 91 range. The curveball is a really solid pitch, actually. A lot of spin, a lot of drop on it, good shape to it. It plays well off the fastball, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of projection left here that could help him grow into some more velo. He throws a lot of strikes. He spots the curve decently well. I'll be really interested to see how he develops. Like, he's intriguing too. Like, Job's intriguing, but like Mazzucato will be interesting to see like how he develops. So like, I'm not going to draft him in FYPDs unless he falls in like the 30 range, which probably won't happen because a lot of guys know that he went 7th overall, got to take him top 10, but I'm not going to go there with him. So I'll miss out. But if you want him, you know, go get him. But I'm not going that high on him, honestly. There's a lot of pitchers I like better in the class.
Yep, agreed. I have him 37th overall in mine, right one spot behind Bubba Chandler, who we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But yeah, I don't know. Mazzucato, obviously, like you mentioned, that was the plan for them. Like, obviously, you don't just like last second be like, oh yeah, okay, let's take Frank Mazzucato. Like, obviously, that was a target of theirs going into the draft. They had that plan. I mean, I don't dislike Mazzucato. I don't think either of us dislike Mazzucato, but just the seventh overall, when you had all those other arms, like the only two arms off the board at that point were Leiter and Jobe, who went 2-3. Like, you could have had your choice of anybody else in the draft. Anybody, Gavin Williams, Bachman, Rocker. I think we all thought Rocker was going there. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's a good, like, third round FYPD target, second, third round. But he won't go anywhere near where I want to take him. I think I have him 37th. I bet you he goes, if we did like an FYPD ADP, I'd say probably like early 20s. I think he goes like in that range. I think he'll go closer to Gunnar Hoglund than he should. You know, like, I think they both go in the same range, give or take like five or six picks. I think Hoglund will go ahead of him, but I think because of the draft picks, you know, the slot here, I think he'll go higher than he should. So I will not have any shares of Frank Mazzucato here. But so I got two guys that I probably will have some shares of. I like Andrew Painter and Chase Petty a lot here. You know, Painter 13 to Philadelphia and Chase Petty 16 to the Minnesota Twins. Petty is nasty. He's not Jackson Jobe nasty, but he is an electric arm, and he's not like a big dude. I think he's, what's he listed at? 6'2", 190. Like, he's not like a super big guy. Yeah, he's 2 inches taller than I am, but, you know, that's like middle of the road height. You know, most pitchers you see, we've talked about, are like 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". This is not that huge height, but just the arm is so lively. It's just a electric arm speed. Gets the fastball up in the upper 90s, can touch triple digits with good life up in the zone. Slider and changeup. I think the slider could be a plus offering. It's got some tight spin, two-blade break on it, can really bury that down. That's his main out pitch right now. Obviously, you know, it's kind of typical, right, for these, you know, electric.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Prep arms. Like, all right, got the big fastball, big breaking ball. Changeup kind of behind, but shows promise. He kind of fits that mold pretty well. But again, he's shown promise. He's shown some good feel for his changeups. I think I don't have any worries about that developing. And he goes into an org that is kind of underrated, I think, in terms of pitching talent. Like, Minnesota, on top of having, you know, the big three they had to start the year, Blazevic, Joan Duran, and Matt Cantorino, they just traded for Joe Ryan and Drew Strotman from the Rays. Winder has broken out, and now they add Chase Petty here. I think this would be a very good system for pitching, and I like Chase Petty a lot. I think he could end up as, like, one of the five best pitchers from this draft class if the breaking stuff develops, if he can maintain – he's already shown decent enough command and control – if he can maintain and be at least 50 there, maybe 55, I think he has that potential. You know, this guy could be a high-end number two that just racks up the strikeouts with that fastball slider. And like I said, I do think the changeup can develop there. But what are your thoughts on Petty and then Andrew Painter as well?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Painter. He reminds me a lot of the Abel pick last year, obviously same landing spot here. I mean, Painter's a big boy, like 6'7", 225, really good mechanics, repeated – well, clean, good feel for spin. A lot of things you like to see. I mean, the fastball is big already, you know, up to 99 and good spin rates on it. And the slider and curve are great pitches as well. Probably, you know, average to above average pitches. The changeup, like you mentioned, needs to develop. I like Painter a lot. Petty's probably one that has a lot of upside as well. I think they were both Florida commits, if I'm not mistaken. So we know, obviously, Florida's track record with success. So they like both.
Can you imagine those two in the same rotation?
Yeah, that'd be nuts. Jeez.
That'd be like second coming of, I don't know, maybe not that, but second coming of like Leiter and Rocker in a few years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a fan from a landing spot. Like, I like Petty as well. Like, he fell a little more than I thought, and I'm mad the Braves passed on him. But, you know, Petty's got a big fastball for, I mean, being a little smaller, he's 6'1 compared to Painter at 6'7. You know, his fastball up there and, you know, reaches triple digits, which is nuts. So, for his size, it's pretty impressive. He has that kind of power. Pretty good delivery as well. I think that the delivery and mechanics are a reason that he gets to triple digits. Good athlete. Like him a lot as well. And I think, so if I'm picking between the two, I'd probably rather take Petty just from a value standpoint, because I think Painter's going to go a lot higher in FYPD. So if I can get Petty later, then I'm definitely going to do so. But, you know, from a ranking standpoint, I have Painter 18th overall and Petty 24th in my FYPD. So, yeah, I think Petty's just going to go lower. So I'll take him all day.
Absolutely. I have Painter a few spots. A few spots behind Petty. I'm just a big Petty guy. Like you mentioned, you know, he doesn't have a lot of effort, and there's some effort, but the fact that he can get that velocity just from his arm speed alone, he doesn't have to put a lot of effort into his delivery to get up to that velocity. It's something I really like to see. And I think the upside is a little higher with Petty, but the upside with both these guys is very, very high. I want to see, you know, how they develop Painter. And if both him and Abel hit, that's a dynamic duo there down the road to pair up with. You know, Nola will probably still be there. Who knows about Zach Wheeler, but that could be just a dynamic duo to add into that rotation. You know, obviously several years down the road, they're both still 18, 19 years old. But if you don't get Job and you want the second, you know, if you're at the mid part of your, you know, the 15 to 25 range, which I think is where these guys will go, you want some upside, I definitely go with one of these two. Is there, you can't go wrong. Flip a coin, you know, whoever you like more. Both these guys have very, very intriguing upside here. And real quick, let's hit on the other three names we have on our list here. Maddox Bruns, 29, to the Dodgers. And I want to always say Burns, but you get flip that U and the R around. Maddox Bruns, 29, to the Dodgers. Anthony Salameto, 37, to Pittsburgh. And then another guy to Pittsburgh that they got to sign already, Bubba Chandler, 72nd overall selection. Pittsburgh absolutely just dominated this draft. Like, start to finish, Pittsburgh absolutely killed it. What are your thoughts on these? Is one of these three, I think for me, Bubba Chandler, I like the most out of these three.
Yeah, I think that's the easy one for me.
But Maddox Bruns, though, getting to the Dodgers, that does intrigue me as well. All three of these guys intrigue me a decent amount, but in terms of, I think I rank them Bubba Chandler first overall, Bruns probably second just because of the landing spot. I think him and Salamento were pretty even to me in terms of this like overall potential and stuff, but getting to the Dodgers there as opposed to Salamento going to Pittsburgh, who is on the up and up. So I'm not saying they're a bad org or anything, but I love that Bruns spot. But yeah, Bubba Chandler, that's very intriguing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm probably the least familiar with Bruns, so I'm not going to speak a lot to him because I don't know a ton, but I do know that he got a great landing spot. I know he's got a big fastball, gets good spin rates on the fastball. He's older for the class. Like, he's a year older than almost every high school player. So that kind of is a small knock on him from that standpoint. There's some command issues from what I've read. So again, I haven't actually seen a lot of film on him. So I'm not going to speak a ton to him. Chandler, though, yeah, I'm a big fan of. Obviously, he's one that could have easily gone mid-first round, I think. That kind of talent. He's a two-way player. Him and Will Taylor both were committed to Clemson to play football and baseball. Quarterback, right? So quarterback, D1 quarterback here in Chandler. Will Taylor's going to play some quarterback. We know Taylor didn't end up getting drafted because of his firm commitment to Clemson. But Chandler, he's really interesting. Fantastic athlete. And a guy that's 6'4", 205. I think he's a guy who, when he focuses on baseball, is really going to take off. And when he's been a multi-sport athlete, and a lot of these guys, like Lonnie White's the same thing we talked about last week, how he's really going to pop, I think, when he's just fully focused on the sport because he's split so much time between them. And, you know, I think that he's a true starter, in my opinion. He's got two above average or better pitches. The fastball, you know, up to 97, gets pretty good life on it. sits pretty consistently like 92 to 96. The curve is slurvish a little bit, in my opinion. The changeup, above average pitch, you know, there's throws it for strikes. He's a confident pitcher too. You watch him, and I think that he's just throws very confidently and a chance to be an impact starter. And so Chandler's one I'm more confident of these, and they got a real steal, but they did pay up. I think they gave him $3 million.
Yeah, it was way overslot. Yeah.
Yeah. So they paid for him, but yeah, Chandler.
I think they used a lot of that money they saved on Davis that they gave to Bubba Chandler.
Just and then, to.
Basically it all went to it. Is I think what did was a 2.5 underslot for Davis or something, 2.2 or something like that.
Yeah, 2.2, I think.
Yeah, so they basically gave all that extra money they saved to Bubba Chandler, or at least most of it to Bubba Chandler. I'll speak a little bit on Anthony Salamedo here because, you know, he's very intriguing to me. You know, he's a 6'5 lefty, and right away, that's pretty intriguing right there. You know, prep arm, he had a North Carolina commit, who was my favorite school, so I was excited about him potentially going there, but he will go into the Pittsburgh Pirates organization here. Doesn't really have any pitch that stands out right now, but projection is the name of the game for Salamento. Like I said, 6'5", projection on that frame. You know, he sits, you know, kind of low 90s, can get up into the mid 90s at times, tops out at about 96 right now. Mostly sits around 91, 93, 94 in that range. But he's got good life on that fastball already. And I think in time he'll tick up with the velocity. I can see him as a guy that sits mid 90s in a couple of years once he kind of fills out his frame a little bit. And he's already shown the ability to, you know, manipulate a slider very well. Good spin rates on a slider. It's got a good sharp break to it. That's his main out pitch right now. So I think that could be a plus offer in there. I think he could have plus fastball, plus slider in time. And we'll see about the changeup. It's behind, obviously. Like I said, he fits that, you know, prep arm mold of, you know, good fastball, good breaking ball, changeup behind. But, you know, he does show some feel for it. Like the feel is there. So I think with added reps, I think he could have that be at least an average third pitch along that fastball and slider. And his delivery, it's a very, very deceptive delivery, the way he attacks hitters on the left side. It's hard to pick up the ball out of his hand as well. So that adds, you know, even more effectiveness to his offerings and makes it that much harder to hit, so especially for lefties. Like that must be an uncomfortable at bat for a left-handed batter to have Salamedo and his big, long limbs coming at you from the left side. That must be uncomfortable. I think, thankfully, I'd have to face Anthony Salamedo because that would not be good. But yeah, I definitely like him a lot. I think he could be a guy that could rise up, but not initially. I don't think he's going to be a guy that takes the minor leagues by storm right away. Probably more of a slower developer, but I think a guy over time, you'll like look back in a few years like, oh, hey, Salamedo's a top 100 prospect now in like 2024 or whatever, but definitely some upside there. Let's move on here to our last couple of segments. Chris, who are a couple guys going outside of round one that you really like for FYPD?
Yeah, so first one is Kai Bush. He didn't go far out of the first round. He went 45th overall to the Angels. Another left-handed arm that, you know, not a big college. He's from St. Mary's, but big boy at 6'6", 240. Very high release angle, which is interesting. He's kind of fun to watch how he throws. So fastball, you know, mid-90s, touches 97. Again, fringe competition, so it's hard to, like, speak to the true ability. But when you watch him pitch, I think the arsenal is solid. I like the fastball. He's got some good secondaries as well. He's one who I think is a little under the radar because I think there's potential for a plus fastball and slider here. The biggest thing with him is the lack of a changeup, I think, and the command. So the command will be interesting to see how that ends up working out for him. The other guy is one that, you know, I watched quite a bit being down here in the SEC, and that's Tommy Mace from Florida, who actually landed in a great spot in Cleveland. And Mace was talked about as a first rounder for a long time and, you know, fell pretty far. But his fastball, you know, it's okay. Like, it's not great, but he's got a well-rounded arsenal and good command. So for me, like, when I'm looking at guys later in the draft to take a shot on, I'll take a shot on that. Someone who has good command and he has four pitches and pitched against good competition at that. But you know, he's one who last year could have been drafted and he wasn't. But I think it was because it was a shorter draft and a financial thing, like he, you know, just financial demands. So anyway, he's 22 now and he was a redshirt junior. He's one who I think probably saw some draft stock fall, but overall, like, I think has as much upside as some of the other higher ones in the class. And, you know, he reminds me a little bit of like a Bryce Jarvis, which was a first rounder last year. And, you know, Jarvis has a lot of upside as well. Like, Mace is one that has a lot of, you know, high RPMs on his, all of his pitches, really, not like elite, but really solid. And I think he's still got some room to grow. Like, I would say, I would call him like an unfinished product. And you know what? Being an unfinished product in Cleveland is fantastic. We've seen how they develop pitchers. And so I'll take the shot on Mace Lay. Like, in this mid-tier of arms, like, I'm kind of skipping them. And if you're – Mace is one where you got to go, like, 50 players deep, in my opinion, to take him. But if you do, like, he's going to be a good value. Like, I'm 55 in my FYPD rankings. So I'm willing to take a shot in that range, and I think that he could be one who pays off for you. How about you?
Yeah, those are two good selections. Like, you can't go wrong with getting a guy like that in Cleveland. Like, when in doubt, just go with Cleveland arms. This is, you know, how it goes these days with how much success they've had over the last, you know, half decade developing pitchers. So I like those two a lot. I'm going to go with two prep arms as well, two unfinished products, as you said. First one, I'll go Peter Hubuck. Maryland prep righty that went pick, where'd he go? I lost my note here. Pick 101 to the Dodgers. They're the great org. Cleveland, Tampa, Dodgers are kind of the top three orgs for pitching development, at least in my mind. So I like that landing spot a lot. He's very much an unfinished product. Like, he definitely fits that mold. But at the same time, you know, getting him into the Dodgers was just a match. That may be the second best match of the draft behind Williams of Cleveland, in my opinion. Even though he went in the, I think it was what, the fourth round, pick 101. So he's a low to mid 90s fastball, kind of like 92, 94 right now, but can touch a little higher than that. But big spin rate fastball, big spin rate, 12 to 6 breaking ball. So I think in time, they're both going to be plus. I think that curveball might be plus right now. It's got a ton of depth to it. So that fastball, curveball combo is very, very good potential there, especially when the Dodgers get their hands on him and, you know, help him develop that and maximize his potential. I definitely think that'd be a plus, two plus pitches right there. You know, outside of that, we'll see. You know, we'll see how the changeup develops or if he develops any other offerings. You know, command and control are probably fringy average right now, but in time, I think they could be average. So this is kind of like, it reminds me of like the Clayton Beter pick, even though Beter was a college arm, just kind of like the upside mid-round pick. If you just want some, you know, at that point, most people are going after upside anyway. So if you want to take an arm there, you know, in the 50 to 60 range, probably, I think Peter Hubuck is your guy. And then my other guy here, Michael Morales, a Pennsylvania prep arm that went pick 83 to the Seattle Mariners, excuse me. And he's, you know, big fastball, big curveball, with some projection, and he's got good feel too. Like, he's one of the better, you know, more advanced, polished prep arms, if there is such a thing. He's a Vandy commit, got a, you know, like you mentioned, Florida commit. You know, the Vandy commit obviously means good things there. They saw some good things in Michael Morales, and I like that landing spot with Seattle as well. They've done a great job recently developing pitching prospects, and he's another good arm to add into all those good arms already in the system. Again, see how it's like a theme here. See how the changeup develops, but I think the fastball curveball combination above average to plus in time is like a solid frame, 6'2", 205. I think he still could fill out that frame a bit more there. Not a ton of projection on his frame, but I think he could, you know, bulk up. I combined beef up and bulk up into beak up. New term there. Beak up. That's a stick. I'm gonna make that stick. Beak up. He could bulk up a bit here, add some velocity. I think it could be like a mid-90s, sitting mid-90s guy with that curveball and at least a solid changeup. So I like the command and control he's already shown. So that gives me some more confidence that he'll kind of reach his potential and in a good system there. So like Morales a lot. And last but not least, Chris, who's a guy that's a little bit deeper that you're going to be targeting in your first-year player drafts?
Yeah, and this is like a 30 team, like very deep. And Hunter Parks, he's an arm that some talked about as a first rounder like a year ago this time. And he's a JUCO guy. He's here in South Carolina at Florence Darlington Tech. Small little JUCO school, but they made the JUCO World Series, and they do every year. Like, they're very competitive JUCO. Parks didn't pitch a ton this year. He pitched 21 innings, 0.43 ERA, 27 Ks. He was going to be transferring to South Carolina this year, and South Carolina, obviously, a very solid program. But for me, when I look at Parks, like, I don't know, it's kind of tough because he's one that has the stuff, like big fastball, you know, 95. There's not great spin to it, but he also has a good slider, sits in the upper 70s, needs a little more power behind it. He hasn't used the changeup much because he hasn't really needed to against his competition, has some good fade to it. And, you know, he missed actually a month due to COVID protocol, so we didn't see a ton of him. And I think that hurt his stock, especially with a shorter JUCO year. And, you know, he did a lot in 63 JUCO innings in two seasons. And he's won three pitches, could be a three-pitch starter if he develops right. There's a lot of projection left in his frame. He's 6'4", 187. So you could easily see him adding some weight and strength there. Those are a lot of strikes. That command and control improve a little bit. He's one who I think is a great pick at 240 overall to the Reds.
Yeah, definitely a good pick there. I'm going to go, the guy wasn't taken quite as deep as your guy was, Hunter Parks was. Went 113 to Seattle. Bryce Miller out of Texas A&M. In his final year, he didn't have stats that blew you away. Last year at Texas A&M, 13 starts, 10 relief. Excuse me, 13 overall appearances, 10 starts, which were his first 10 starts in the collegiate ranks. He was a reliever exclusively prior to 2021. 4.45 ERA, 1.50 WHIP, walk rate well above 10%. So, like, why am I recommending him? Well, when you're getting later on in your first year player draft, you know, especially with pitchers, obviously, like I mentioned, you look for upside, right? Like, why take the safe, boring guy? You know, go for the upside. If they don't hit, whatever, you filter around, then you churn out that back end of your prospect pool. So go for the upside. He has solid upside. And another thing I look at here, you know, is there a potential bullpen path? They could be pitching meaningful innings in the back end of a bullpen someday. And I do think Miller has that potential. So I'd say I'd probably think in 60-40, he's actually a reliever, but I think he could be a pretty damn good reliever. He's got the big fastball, 70-grade fastball. You know, a lot of scouts and analysts are kind of mixed on the secondaries. I don't know if I'd say he has any plus. If anything, the slider could be plus. I think if he does go the bullpen route, ditches the other pitches, focuses solely on a fastball slider, I think he could really get that slider to be plus. It's at least above average, borderline plus. You know, it's a good, at least a good secondary offering there to pair up with that fastball. So I think that combination could land him in the back end of a bullpen someday. Maybe not a closer, but in the eighth inning role, sort of your saves whole leagues, something like that. I know it's not something you really think about when you're in your first year player draft, like, oh, I'm going to draft a guy that could be a reliever for me in a few years. I know that's not in anybody's mind, but yeah, in the back end of your first year player draft, okay, I think he's a big guy that's going to be taken outside the top 100 overall in FYPD. So definitely has the upside there, even if it's in the bullpen. That fastball slider combination could be pretty damn good. So he's a guy I'll probably take a flyer on just to see how he develops. It's like the lively arm is there, the upside's there. We'll see how he develops as a starter or reliever, but definitely some good upside, and that's kind of what I look for late in drafts. But all right, Chris, let's get wrap us up. Man, we went a little long, but a lot of fun names here.
For sure. It was a great episode. So hope you stuck with us the whole time and hope it's beneficial to your FYPD. Thanks for joining.
Yes. Thank you to everyone for listening again this week. Again, if you missed last week's episode talking about hitters, go back and check that out. Episode 39. So check this one out again. You know, this will be, we'll revisit our, and you know, talk more FYPD into the off season where most of you have your FYPD fantasy draft. So we'll definitely touch on these guys again, but we wanted just to get our initial thoughts out there. You know, where we value these guys in prospect rankings, kind of definitely for those of you that are like, well, I have the third pick and, you know, what type of guy could I get there? What's the value of that against, you know, current prospects? Just get our initial thoughts out there to help people with trades and whatnot. But again, that's a wrap us up. Thank you to everyone for listening again this week. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at AirCross04 and all of our written work at FanTrex HQ or over on our Patreon, patreon.com/FanTracksToolshed. Make sure to tune in again next week for more Dynasty and Prospect Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.